If you've been following the news lately in the last couple of weeks, you'll probably have noticed that the Catholic Church has made headlines and has made it in the news, especially over these last few weeks, last month or so. Unfortunately, not for the best of reasons. Perhaps some of you know to which I'm referring. But that there came out in the news, the Pennsylvania scandal, as well as other leaders of the church being found out of doing bad and terrible things. There have been some leaders of the church who have done bad and horrible and unjustifiable things. Now, some may say, and I felt I should address it because it's been in the news. And about some of the things that have come out in the news, about some of the terrible things that have been done, some may say, well, some of this stuff came out when they're, you know, back in the day, and when there wasn't a full psychological understanding of some of these issues. Well, maybe. And also that not only church leaders, but that there were other people involved in the covering up of some of these scandalous things, complicit in it. And sure, that may be the case. But even so, it does not excuse or justify some of the horrible and horrendous things that have been done. That there were some leaders of the church, especially some bishops involved, who were more concerned about saving face than about the good of some people. Ironically, trying to stop scandal when, in fact, it has blown up into what it is now. But I think in light of recent events, it's a painful reminder to us that there really are evil spiritual forces at work in the world, at which even spiritual leaders are susceptible, that we are in a real true spiritual battle. And it's a very strategic move of the evil one to especially to strike at the shepherds. You strike the shepherd, you scatter the sheep. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. To be very clear, mentioning evil spiritual forces and the evil one is not in any way meant to remove blame from certain individuals. For they have free will to be complicit to those temptations. But the point being that there is, in fact, the reality is that there is a very real battle that exists and going on and that we are in the midst of. A spiritual battle, but very real nonetheless, to which we as human beings, as Christians, exist. But there is a real battle between the forces of good and evil, of light and darkness. And we're even reminded of that in the Mass, in the liturgy. There's a little phrase that we say that seems like a throwaway line, "The Lord be with you." When I was always younger, it always sounded to me sort of like a, "Hey, how are you? The Lord be with you," you know? But that word, that phrase, "the Lord be with you," is actually packed with many layers of meaning. One of them being that those were the very words spoken to David as he went off to battle Goliath, the evil giant, symbolic of all the evil, powerful, looming forces opposed to all the forces of good. That as David was going off to face the evil giant, Goliath, that the King Saul said to him, "The Lord be with you," as he went forth to go and do battle. And so in our liturgy, we're reminded that we are fighting a spiritual battle to be that force of light and goodness in the world. And we say that phrase before the gospel, which is our battle anthem, and then before the Eucharistic prayer, the source from which our strength flows from. But since some of these scandals blew up in the early 2000s, the church in the U.S. has taken great strides to protect against such things. Virtus was put in place. And now, even before any of this stuff came out in Pennsylvania, a number of months ago, the Archdiocese of Dubuque decided that we're going to update our training to create a safe environment for everyone. And I'll say more about that at the end of Mass today. But even so, it doesn't change the fact that terrible things were done. And the question arises, perhaps some of us are wrestling with these questions. The question arises, why am I even here? Why am I even a part of this? That maybe I just need to throw in the towel and find a new church. For me, being a young priest, many people will ask me, you know, why'd you decide to become a priest? And while it's a really long, drawn out, and nuanced story, it can be really boiled down to one thing. Why did I become a priest? That I didn't become a priest because of any other priest or bishop. Certainly, I met guys in seminary who, what sparked their vocation is they had a priest in their life who was a really good, inspiring, influential figure in their life and inspired them to go become a priest. And that's a great and wonderful thing. But that was not the case for me. If you boil it down to one thing, the reason I became a priest was because of the person of Jesus Christ. Because I realized it was his love that came and found me, that I began to realize that there is a love that is real and that is worth giving up everything for. And the fullness of the encounter with this love, of the expression of this love, and the beauty and truth of this love, I've found here in Catholicism. That, as I mentioned last week in talking about the Eucharist, that if this Eucharist that we celebrate really is what we say it is, if this really is the body and blood of Jesus Christ present here with us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, really truly present with us, and if it's only here that I can receive it, receive him, his body and blood in that fullness into me, into my own broken self, well, there's no other place I'd rather be. And there's no other church that I could be in. That it's here that I need to be. Regardless of whatever other sinners happen to end up here with me in this church. Now we hear those words today of Christ. When Christ asks the apostles, do you too also want to leave? And they say to him, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. So just to close my homily today, I want to share with you the words of a psalm, of Psalm 94. Because in light of recent events in the context, there's a crying out for justice and a wrestling to understand how to trust God in the midst of seemingly very evil things, especially when the innocent and the vulnerable have been hurt. That in this psalm, the psalmist is wrestling with the very same things. Even though it was written many, many hundreds of years ago, that I think it very much speaks to where we are. That the psalmist is wrestling with seeing the innocent and the vulnerable being hurt and crying out for justice. And just when he seems like his own self, he's wrestling with those questions. It's a prayer of trust in God, of crying out to God to be his strength and his stronghold and his rock in the midst of much confusion. So whatever you're wrestling with in your heart, especially if there's anger, truly righteous anger, or whatever is going on, I just ask you to take a moment just to close your eyes and just receive the words of this psalm and just let it speak into your heart, whatever is going on there and whatever is going on in your life. So this is Psalm 94. O Lord, avenging God, appear. Judge of the earth, arise. Give the proud what they deserve. How long, O Lord, shall the wicked, triumph? They bluster with arrogant speech. The evildoers boast to each other. They crush your people, Lord. They afflict the ones you have chosen. They kill the widow and the stranger. and murder the fatherless child. And they say, the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob pays no heed. But mark this, most senseless of people. Fools, when will you understand? Can he, the Lord, who made the ear, not hear? Can he who formed the eye not see? Will he who corrects nations not punish? Will he who teaches men not have knowledge? The Lord knows the thoughts of men, and he knows that they are no more than a breath. But happy the man whom you teach, O Lord, whom you train by means of your law. To him you give peace, even in evil days. The Lord will not abandon his people, nor forsake those who are his own. For judgment shall again be just, and all true hearts shall uphold it. Who will stand up for me against the wicked? Who will defend me against those who do evil? If the Lord were not to help me, I would soon go down into silence. But just when I think that I have lost my foothold, your mercy, Lord, holds me up. When cares increase in my heart, your consolation calms my soul. Can judges who do evil be your friends? They do injustice under cover of the law, in the name of the law, and they attack the life of the just and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord will repay them for their wickedness. And as for me, the Lord will be a stronghold. My God will be the rock where I take refuge. Amen.